Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. You're listening to EFR, a voice for European people worldwide. We are privileged to be able to bring the Christian identity message to all the dispersed children of Israel, wherever they might be. We offer religious programming, news, current events, and a little humor thrown in. We are glad that you could join us, and may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.
Psalm 91, known as the Soldier's Song. He that dwells in the secret place of Elyon, who abides under the shadow of the Shaddai, he is saying of Yahweh, my refuge and my stronghold, my Elohim in whom I trust. For he delivers you from the snare of a trapper, from the destructive pestilence. He covers you with his feathers, and under his wings you take refuge. His truth is a shield and armor. You are not afraid of the dread by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that walks in darkness, or of destruction that ravages at midday. 1,000 fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it does not come near you. Only with your eyes you look on and see the reward of the morally wrong, because you have made Yahweh, my refuge, the Elyon, your dwelling place. No evil befalls you, and a plague does not come near your tent, for he commands his messengers concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You tread upon lions and cobra, young lion and jackal you trample underfoot. Because he cleaves to me in love, therefore I deliver him. I set him on high because he has known my name. When he calls on me, I answer him. I am with him in distress. I deliver him and honor him. With long life I fill him and show him my deliverance.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for the 14th of March, 2018. We're in the book of Jasher, that is Sefer HaYashar, the book of the upright. We'll be starting in chapter 64 today. And a lot of action going on in this book. In these chapters, lots of battles, a lot of stuff behind the scenes, Man, oh man, it's an exciting read and exciting ride. Let's get started with my website for where you get into the actual book. My website is https, as in sugar, /// www.pastor, pastor-steve.com. It is not an interactive website. You can't post comments or troll there. I don't have time to babysit, but if you want to download or listen to the shows, all my shows are there. Wake Up Call, Word for Word, has links to all the two Seedline Christian Identity sites that I can put on there, and information on how to obtain my translations of Scripture. So let's get started in chapter 64. Let me get a hit of coffee and I'll start in on verse 1. That's good. Verse 1. And Balaam, the son of Beor, was at that time with Angeas in the battle. And when he saw that Zepho prevailed over Angeas, he fled from there and came to Chittim. Okay, that's the Hittites. Verse 2. And Zepho and the children of Chittim received him with great honor, for Zepho knew Balaam's wisdom. He was a magician. Okay. And Zepho gave unto Balaam many gifts, and he remained with him. Verse 3. And when Zepho had returned from the war, he commanded all the children of Chittim to be numbered who had gone into battle with him, and behold, not one was missed. Because Zepho was an Edomite. Okay. Verse 4. And Zepho rejoiced at this thing, and he renewed his kingdom. After the, in other words, after the fatigues of war, he attended again to the domestic government that he had left to fight that war. And he made a feast to all his subjects. Verse 5. But Zepho remembered not Yahweh, and considered not that Yahweh had helped him in the battle, and that he had delivered him and his people from the hand of the king of Africa. But he still walked in the ways of the children of Chittim, the Hittites, okay, and the wicked children of Esau, who had married with all these others to serve other Elohim, that's gods, little g, which his brethren, the children of Esau, had taught him. They taught him all this paganism and false gods. It is therefore said, from the wicked goes forth wickedness. That's verse 5 here. Let me get another drink of coffee. All right, verse 6. And Zepho reigned over all the children of Chittim securely, but knew not Yahweh, who had delivered him and all his people from the hand of the king of Africa. Of course not. Wasn't a Yahweh worshiper. He was an Edomite. And the troops of Africa came no more to Chittim to plunder as usual, for they knew of the power of Zepho, who had smitten them all at the edge of the sword. So Angeas was afraid of Zepho, the son of Eliphaz, and of the children of Chittim all the days. In other words, he really put a whooping on them, and they didn't want to mess with him anymore. Okay. Verse 7. At that time, when Zepho had returned from the war, and when Zepho had seen how he prevailed over all the people of Africa, and had smitten them in battle with the edge of the sword, then Zepho advised with the children of Chittim to go to Mitzrayim, that's Egypt, to fight with the sons of Yaakov and with Pharaoh, king of Mitzrayim, Egypt. Okay. For Zepho heard that the mighty men of Mitzrayim were dead, and that Yosef and his brethren, the sons of Yaakov, were dead, and that all their children, the children of Israel, remained in Mitzrayim. In other words, all the people were dead that they had feared beforehand, all those mighty sons of Yaakov. But their grandchildren, or their children, were still alive. Ephraim, Manasseh, those people, oh boy. And the children of Israel were still very, very mighty. So here we go. Verse 9. And Zepho considered to go fight against them and all Mitzrayim to avenge the cause of his brethren, the children of Esau. Okay. Whom Yosef with his brethren and all Mitzrayim had smitten in the land of Canaan when they went up to bury Jacob in Hebron. Because they opposed him. Oh, Esau said, no, you're not going to bury him here. This is mine. Well, they killed a whole bunch of them, and they killed Esau. So that ended that. Verse 10. And Zepho sent messengers to Hadad, the son of Bedad, king of Edom, the head of the Edomites, his relative, and to all his brethren, the children of Esau, saying, verse 11, did you not say that you would not fight against the king of Africa, for he is a member of your covenant? Behold, I fought with him and smote him and all his people. Verse 12. Now, therefore, I have resolved to fight against Mitzrayim and the children of Yaakov who are there, and I will be revenged of them for what Yosef, his brethren and ancestors did to us in the land of Canaan when they went up to bury their father in Hebron. Verse 13. Now then, if you are willing to come to me to assist me in fighting against them and Mitzrayim, then shall we avenge the cause of our brethren. Okay. Yeah, we're going to go get revenge. Okay. Verse 14. And the children of Esau hearkened to the words of Zepho. And the children of Esau gathered themselves together, a very great people. And they went to assist Zepho and the children of Chittim in battle. Verse 15. And Zepho sent to all the children of the east and to all the children of Ishmael with words like unto these, and they gathered themselves and came to the assistance of Zepho and the children of Chittim in the war upon Mitzrayim. Let's stop right here. They all wanted plunder. They were just all warlike in those days, and they wanted to plunder the riches of Egypt. Of course, well, that's well. Verse 16. And all these kings, the king of Edom, and the children of the east, and all the children of Ishmael, and Zepha the king of Chittim, went forth and arrayed all their hosts in Hebron. Verse 17. And the camp was very heavy. And that means it was a very large, well-equipped camp, okay? Extending 3 days' journey, a people numerous as the sand upon the seashore, which cannot be counted. In other words, there were a whole bunch of them. Verse 18. And all these kings and their hosts went down and came against all Mitzrayim in battle, and encamped together in the valley of Patros. Verse 19. And all Mitzrayim heard their report, and they also gathered themselves together, all the people of the land of Mitzrayim, and of all the cities belonging to Mitzrayim, about 300,000 men. Big battle. Verse 20. And the men of Mitzrayim sent also to the children of Israel who were in those days in the land of Goshen to come to them in order to go and fight with these kings. Okay, verse 21. And the men of Israel assembled and were about 150 men, and they went into battle to assist the Mitzri, the Egyptians. At just 150 Israelites. That's all. They hadn't really proliferated at that time. Verse 22. And the men of Israel and of Mitzrayim went forth, about 300,000 men and 150 men. And they went toward these kings to battle, and they placed themselves from without the land of Goshen opposite Patros. Verse 23. Now here comes a problem. And the Mitzrayim believed not in Israel to go with them in their camps together for battle, for all the Mitzrayim said, perhaps the children of Israel will deliver us into the hand of the children of Esau and Ishmael, for they are their brethren. Well, at one time they were related, but they had all mixed, and they were no longer, especially the children of Esau, the Edomites, they were of cursed seed. And they had nothing for any of those people. All right? But this, the Mitzrayim didn't trust them for some reason. So this is going to come into play later. Verse 24, and all the Mitzrayim said unto the children of Israel, that's the 150 men, remain you here together in your stand, and we will go and fight against the children of Esau and Ishmael. And if these kings should prevail over us, then come you all together upon them and assist us. So, in other words, you guys wait here, and if we need you, well, you can come in then. But otherwise, stay here. And the children of Israel did so. They hung back, like they were told. Okay, that's how you want it. verse 25. And Zepho, the son of Eliphaz, son of Esau, king of Kittim, and Hadad, the son of Bedad, king of Edom, and all their camps, and all the children of the east, and children of Ishmael, a people numerous as sand, encamped together in the valley of Patros, opposite Tachpanes, which is a big town in Egypt. Okay. Verse 26. And Balaam, the son of Beor, the Syrian, okay, he was in Aramee, that's Syria, okay, was there in the camp of Zepho. For he came with the children of Chittim to the battle, and Balaam was a man highly honored in the eyes of Zepho and his men. All right, here we go. Yahweh's going to put his hand in and going to foil this plan. Verse 27, and Zepho said unto Balaam, try by divination for us. So we may know who will prevail in the battle, we or the Mitzrayim. In other words, make a spell or divination and see who's going to win this. Here we go. Verse 28. And Balaam rose up and tried the art of divination. He was skillful in that knowledge, but he was confused, and the work was destroyed in his hand. Verse 29. And he tried it again, but it did not succeed. And Balaam despaired of it, and left it, and did not complete it. For this was from Yahweh, in order to cause Zepho and his people to fall into the hand of the children of Israel, who trusted in Yahweh, the Elohim of their ancestors, in their war. So Yahweh stuck his hand and just, you know, he didn't get to see anything. Couldn't get a vision, couldn't do his hocus pocus or any of that. Verse 30. And Zepho and Hadad put their forces in battle array, and all the Mitzrayim went alone against them. They didn't have the children of Israel with them. Okay, they told them to hang back, remember? Okay, about 300,000 men, and not one man of Israel was with them. Verse 31. And all the Mitzrayim fought with these kings opposite Patros and Tachpani, and the battle was severe against the Mitzrayim. Verse 32. And the kings were stronger than the Mitzrayim in that battle, and about 180 men of Mitzrayim fell on that day. And about 30 men of the forces of the kings, and all the men of Mitzrayim fled from before the king. So the children of Esau and Ishmael pursued the Mitzrayim, continuing to smite them into the place where was the camp of the children of Israel. Well, they didn't kill all that many compared to how many were out in the battle. These old boys were fighting with swords and spears and arrows, and they had shields and armor, and, you know, they just were going medieval all over each other. They were hacking and chopping, and then a clang, 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 and it was a sword fight. And you can imagine all these armies coming head to head, all with swords. Well, only the front lines back about 20 people were actually fighting. They had lots of people fighting, but they couldn't get at each other. So that's, they had front to front, and only so far in the battlefront were the people fighting. Not all the people at once. Verse 33. And all the Mitzrayim cried unto the children of Israel, saying, hasten to us and assist us and save us from the hand of Esau, Ishmael, and the children of Chittim. In other words, come bail us out. We didn't trust you before. We made you hang back. But now, come bail us out because we're getting whooped. Okay. Verse 34. And the 150 men of the children of Israel, just 150 guys, ran from their station to the camps of these kings, and the children of Israel cried unto Yahweh their Elohim to deliver them. Verse 35. And Yahweh hearkened to Israel, and Yahweh gave all the men of the kings into their hands, and the children of Israel fought against these kings, and this is 150 guys now. The children of Israel smote about 4,000 of the king's men. You realize the ratio there? All these other troops that didn't trust Israel, they were just going back and forth. And they didn't do real well. But Israel, with Yahweh's assistance, 150 guys, slew 4,000 of the enemy. Mm-hmm. Okay, we got stuff coming up today. And Yahweh will be with the children of Israel today. Verse 36, and Yahweh threw a great consternation in the camp of the kings, so that the fear of the children of Israel fell upon them. He can do the same thing today when we have to fight. Okay? Verse 37, and all the hosts of the kings fled from before the children of Israel, and the children of Israel pursued them, continuing to smite them, unto the borders of the land of Cush. Verse 38. And the children of Israel slew of them in the road yet 2,000 men, and of the children of Israel not one fell. That's about 6,000 that they killed. 150 guys. Mm-hmm. 139 at verse 39. And when the Mitzrayim saw that the children of Israel had fought with such few men with the kings, okay, that's the highlight, such few men, and that the battle was so very severe against them, all the Mitzrayim were greatly afraid of their lives on account of the strong battle, and all Mitzrayim fled, every man hiding himself from the arrayed forces, and they hid themselves in the road, and they left the Israelites to fight. In other words, they chickened out and ran and left Israel to fight alone. Verse 41. And the children of Israel inflicted a terrible blow upon the king's men, and they returned from them after they had driven them to the border of the land of Cush. Now here we go, verse 42. And all Israel knew the thing with which the men of Mitzrayim had done to them, that they had fled from them in battle and had left them to fight. Didn't set well, I'll tell you that. Verse 43. So the children of Israel also acted with cunning, and as the children of Israel returned from the battle, they found some of the Mitzrayim in the road and smote them there. Verse 44. And while they slew them, they said unto them these words, Wherefore did you go from us and leave us, being a few people, to fight against these kings who had a great people to smite us, that you might thereby deliver your own souls? In other words, why did you chicken out and run and leave us? Verse 46. And of some which the Israelites met on the road, they, the children of Israel, spoke to each other, saying, okay. Now they were doing deception right here, because they were angry. And they knew that these were Egyptians, but they were saying this, Smite, smite, for he is an Ishmaelite or an Edomite or from the children of Chittim. And they stood over him and slew him, and they knew that he was an Egyptian, a Mitzrayim. Okay? And the children of Israel did these things cunningly against the Mitzrayim because they had deserted them in battle and had fled from them. That's the fate of the coward. Okay. Verse 48. And the children of Israel slew of the men of Mitzrayim in the road in this manner about 200 men. And all the men of Mitzrayim saw the evil which the children of Israel had done to them. So all Mitzrayim feared greatly the children of Israel, for they had seen their great power, and that not one man of them had fallen. Verse 50. So all the children of Israel returned with joy on their road to Goshen, and the rest of Mitzrayim returned, each man to his place. That set a precedent in Egypt, because they had a new king. And research shows that he was a Hyksos, and that the Hyksos were mixed with the Canaanites, so we really don't know what his racial makeup was. Okay, but things were about to change because of the cowardice of the men of Egypt and the vengeance that the Israelites took on them. It worried them, okay? They were very scared because 150 guys came in and just put the whipping on all these kings that had whipped the Egyptians, and the 150 Israelites bailed them out. And they were all scared, and they ran away and left the Israelites to do all the fighting. Well, Israel killed some of the cowards. And the word spread. So here we are in chapter 65, verse 1. Now you're going to see a change in policy here, change in attitude. And it came to pass after these things that all the counselors of Pharaoh, king of Mitzrayim, and all the elders of Mitzrayim assembled and came before the king and bowed down to the ground. And they sat before him. Verse 2. And the counselors and elders of Mitzrayim spoke to the king, saying, Behold, the people of the children of Israel is greater and mightier than we are. And you know all the evil which they did to us in the road when we returned from battle. Well, they killed the cowards. It's vengeance for running off and leaving them. Okay, well, they're talking about this. Like, oh, we didn't do anything wrong. We were just running away. Yeah, right. Didn't do nothing, man. Verse 4. And you have also seen their strong power, for this power is unto them from their forefathers. For but a few men stood up against a people numerous as the sand, and smote them at the edge of the sword, and of themselves not one has fallen. So that if they had been numerous, they would then have utterly destroyed them, because the Israelites were mighty warriors. So they're all the Egyptians are all dismayed because of their own cowardice and the payback that they got from Israel. So here we go. We're continuing on. They're talking to Pharaoh. Verse 5, now therefore give us counsel what to do with them until we gradually destroy them from among us, lest they become too numerous for us in the land. Well, these people were friends before, but now they want to turn against them and they want to destroy them because they're scared of them. Due to their own cowardice. So, skewed logic here. Verse 6. For if the children of Israel should increase in the land, they will become an obstacle to us. And if any war should happen to take place, they, with their great strength, will join our enemy against us and fight against us, destroy us from the land, and go away from it. Now that's a lie, but they were saying that. And you can reference Exodus chapter 1, verse 10. They had just bailed these people out, but were they grateful? No, they weren't grateful. They're conspiring against Israel. Verse 7. So the king answered the elders of Mitzrayim and said unto them, this is the plan advised against Israel, from which we will not depart. Verse 8. Behold, in the land are Pithom and Ramesses, cities unfortified against battle. You and us should build them and to fortify them. Verse 9. Now therefore go you also and act cunningly toward them, and proclaim a voice in Mitzrayim and in Goshen at the command of the king, saying, verse 10, all you men of Mitzrayim, Goshen, Patros, and all their inhabitants, the king has commanded us to build Pithom and Ramesses and to fortify them for battle Who amongst you of all Mitzrayim, of the children of Israel, and of all the inhabitants of the city, and they have are willing in italics, to build with us, shall each have his wages given to him daily at the king's order. So go you first and do cunningly, and gather yourselves and come to Pithon and Ramses to build. That was the announcement, verse 11. And while you are building, cause a proclamation of this kind to be made throughout Mitzrayim every day at the command of the king. Verse 12, and when some of the children of Israel shall come to build with you, you shall give them their wages daily for a few days. Just a few days, they were going to trick them. Verse 13, and after that, and after they shall have built with you for their daily hire, draw yourselves away from them daily, one by one in secret, in other words, sneak off, and then you shall rise up and become their taskmasters and officers, and you shall leave them afterward to build without wages, and should they refuse, then force them with all your might to build. Verse 14. And if you do this, it will be well with us to strengthen our land against the children of Israel, for on account of the fatigue of the building and the work, the children of Israel will decrease, because you will deprive them from their wives day by day. In other words, they're not going to go home and breed. You're going to be too tired to procreate. Really? Verse 15, and all the elders of Mitzrayim heard the counsel of the king, and the counsel seemed good in their eyes, and in the eyes of the servants of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all Mitzrayim, and they did according to the word of the king. Verse 16, and all the servants went away from the king, and they caused a proclamation to be made in all Mitzrayim, in Tachpanish, and in Goshen, and in all the cities which surrounded Mitzrayim, saying, verse 17, you have seen what the children of Esau and Ishmael did to us, who came to war against us and wished to destroy us. Verse 18, now therefore, the king commanded us to fortify the land, to build the cities of Pithom and Ramses, and to fortify them for battle if they should again come against us. Verse 19, whosoever of you from all Mitzrayim, from the children of Israel, will come to build with us, he shall have his daily wages given by the king, as his command is unto us. Of course, that was a lie. Verse 20, and when Mitzrayim and all the children of Israel heard all that the servants of Pharaoh had spoken, there came from the Mitzrayim and the children of Israel to build with the servants of Pharaoh Pithom and Ramses, but none of the children of Levi came with their brethren to build. They were going to become the priest class. Okay. Verse 21. And all the servants of Pharaoh and his princes came at first with deceit to build with all Israel as daily hired laborers. And they gave to Israel their daily hire at the beginning. Verse 22. And the servants of Pharaoh built with all Israel and were employed in that work with Israel for a month. Verse 23. And at the end of the month, all the servants of Pharaoh began to withdraw secretly from the people of Israel daily. They would just drop off one by one. Verse 24, and Israel went on with the work at that time, but they then received their daily hire, because some of the men of Mitzrayim were yet carrying on the work with Israel at that time. Therefore, the Mitzrayim gave Israel their hire in those days in order that they, the Mitzrayim and their fellow workmen, might also take the pay for their labor. Verse 23, or 25, pardon me. I misread that. That's a little smudged in this book. And at the end of a year and 4 months, all the Mitzrayim had withdrawn from the children of Israel, so that the children of Israel were left alone engaged in the work. Verse 26, and after all the Mitzrayim had withdrawn from the children of Israel, they returned and became oppressors and officers over them. And some of them stood over the children of Israel as taskmasters to receive from them all that they gave them for the pay of their labor. In other words, they're going to steal their wages. Verse 27, and the Mitzrayim did this in manner to children of Israel day by day in order to afflict the Israelites in their work. Verse 28, and all the children of Israel were alone engaged in the labor, and the Egyptians refrained from giving any pay to the children of Israel from that time forward. They treated them like slaves. Verse 29, and when some of the men of Israel refused to work on account of the wages not being given to them, then the exactors and the servants of Pharaoh oppressed them and smote them with heavy blows. They beat them, okay, and made them return by force to labor with their brethren. Thus did all of Mitzrayim unto the children of Israel all the days. Verse 30. And all the children of Israel were greatly afraid of the Egyptians in this matter, and all the children of Israel returned and worked alone without pay, because they were all exhausted, and there were only a few of them. They didn't have all of them. Verse 31. And the children of Israel built Pithom and Ramesses, and all the children of Israel did the work, some making bricks and some building. And the children of Israel built and fortified all the land of Mitzrayim and its walls, and the children of Israel were engaged in work for many years, until the time came when Yahweh remembered them and brought them out of Mitzrayim. That was with Moses. Verse 32. Pay attention here. But the children of Levi were not employed in the work with their brethren of Israel from the beginning until the day of their going forth from Mitzrayim. Verse 33. For all the children of Levi knew that the Mitzrayim had spoken all these words with deceit to the Israelites. Therefore, the children of Levi refrained from approaching to the work with their brethren. Verse 34, and the Egyptians did not direct their attention to make the children of Levi work afterwards, since they had not been with their brethren at the beginning. Therefore, the Mitzrayim left them alone. Verse 35, and the hands of the men of Mitzrayim were directed with continued severity against the children of Israel in that work. And the Mitzrayim made the children of Israel work with rigor. In other words, very, very hard work, long days, no pay. All right, now here's some word plays, and I'll explain when we get here. Verse 36, and the Egyptians embittered, that's one of the key words, the lives of the children of Israel with hard work in mortar and bricks and also in all manner of work in the field. And the children of Israel called Melol, the king of Mitzrayim, Maror, king of Mitzrayim, because in his days the Egyptians had embittered their lives with all manner of work. Well, Meror or Maror means bitter. So it was a mocking term. The guy's name was Melol, but they called him Maror, bitterness. Okay? There we go. Little info there. Verse 38, and all the work in which the Mitzrayim made the children of Israel labor, they exacted with rigor. They didn't let them have mild days. They just kept them at it in order to afflict the children of Israel. But the more they afflicted them, the more they increased and grew, and the Mitzrayim were grieved because of the children of Israel. Well, they were still powerful men, and they would go to their wives and be with their wives, and they would have kids. I mean, there's not a lot to do when you're building cities. You're sort of bored, so you go home to mama and you play with mama for a while. That was their hobby, I guess. Okay, that ends chapter 65. We're going to get into 66 on Friday, chapter 66 and 67. This is the different king that's spoken of in the books. They are oppressing Israel on the advice of people that really didn't understand Israel. And it's going to be a big mistake. And it's going to leave up to... it's going to lead up to Moshe in the next couple of chapters. 66 sort of tells how they're trying to stop them from birthing, and it tells of the parents in 67, Miriam and Aharon, and then Moshe, and they're going to make them throw the kids in the water, and that's the next couple of chapters. That's what's coming up on Friday. But we have thoroughly covered 64 and 65 here. And it shows the duplicity and treacherousness of the Mitzrayim. And Yahweh's not going to be happy with this either. And he's going to take vengeance eventually with all the plagues that hit Egypt and all the rest of stuff. But we know the story in Genesis and Exodus. We're in the section that's in Exodus now. In 66, it's gonna start in Exodus 1 and work its way through. But this book the scroll gives additional information into the background. The scriptures in the book of Exodus doesn't give a lot of the detail that you're going to get here. And this clarifies a lot of things, makes a lot more sense why they did what they did. Because they were afraid of them, and they were afraid of if the Israelites grew, they would take over their land. Well, we see what invaders are doing to our land today, and they're trying to take over our land. And the Edomites are bringing them in order to outbreed us and outnumber us. And then those will be their slave class in the future. That's their plans. They want to eliminate the real Israelite race. Well, Yahweh's going to intervene now. We've got a remnant that is faithful to Yahweh. We're back to Yahweh worship. A great many of us, a lot of the people, are not going to make it. They're going to continue in their apostate ways, in their churchianity churches. They're not calling on Yahweh. They're not. They're calling on Jesus and all this other stuff. And they're celebrating pagan holidays and such that Christian identity doesn't celebrate. Well, they're making a great error here, because they're going to go by the wayside, I'm afraid. And they hate us, and they're passing laws against us, and they're trying to restrict our freedom of speech. Big time. Now they're trying for a gun grab. They're going to try to disarm us, and that's not going to happen. I'm sorry, but it just isn't, and it's going to break out, and we're going to have civil unrest because they're too stupid to know when to leave well enough alone. And what they're going to have is an uprising. And, oh, yeah, they're scary forces, and they've got all these weapons. But there's just so many of us, and we're not going to give up the guns. And when the enemy goes down, we'll arm ourselves off the enemy. Those of Israel that are not well armed will get well armed. And Yahweh's going to intervene like he always has, because we'll call on the name of Yahweh. And those that don't call on the name of Yahweh and worship their little pagan gods, they're going to fall. That's how it always has been. We're going to have a remnant. And a remnant is a small part of the whole. Well, I'm coming down the end of the hour. It has been a pleasure. I love reading in this book. This is an exciting, exciting read. So I will say Shalom Aleichem, and I will catch you on the next show. I'll have a word for word on Friday, and I'll have a wake-up call on Thursday. May Yahweh bless and keep you, and praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
You're listening to EuroFolkRadio.com.
a voice for European people worldwide.